Welcome to the Net Worth It podcast. I am your host, Gretchen Heinen. Each week, I will bring you inspiring stories of people just like you who have drastically changed their net worth by making radical changes to their life and how they view money. When you know your worth, your income will grow into it and your net worth will go up. You are worth it. I can't wait for you to meet Dave Detman today. Dave is actually my financial advisor. He found $50,000 in an old employee pension plan that I didn't even know existed, you guys. So I am going to talk with him today about the value of having people help you with your money and how couples handle things differently. And he gives great tips and great advice about how to work with your spouse and how to really be willing to get the kind of life that you want and the things that you have to do to get there. So I'm so excited for you to meet him and meet the guy who is helping me change my net worth every single day. Okay, Dave, welcome to the show. How are you?
Nice to be welcomed.
Yay. How are you today?
I'm doing excellent.
Good. So, if you're watching this on YouTube, Dave looks very professional. He's got his
tie on. He's very professional.
He's very legit looking. So, and you are legit. You are a financial advisor. You're actually my financial advisor.
I am.
I feel comfortable saying that. So
good. I feel comfortable with you saying that.
So. Okay, good. So the reason I brought you on the show today is because you have done a ton for Mike and I as far as helping us with our net worth and looking at our net worth. And you took a very different approach than most financial advisors when I first met you. Like, you didn't give me any advice or tell me anything about money. We started with, what do you want your life to look like? So I thought that was so cool. And It was so different than anybody I've ever talked to. So tell me more about why you do that with clients.
That's a great question. And I think, to answer that simply, I've had some wonderful mentors in my life that said, hey, this is a better way of doing business. But in large part, my belief is, and I think that you embody this, you and Mike embody this very well, is that the vision that you have for the future dictates, what you should be doing today to get there. And What I found is that, when in financial planning, or let's just say increasing your net worth, maybe it's a job change or a family change, whatever that might look like, a lot of times we have a hard time connecting the future with today. So I know, like, you've talked about, like, having your vision board and, like, the things that you put on there manifest into reality, which is pretty cool. Well, what I found is that most people don't have a vision statement for themselves. So, like, one thing that we did when we started working together was had a conversation with you and Mike around what was important to you if we were fast forwarding 2 to 3 years down the road. And I find that, a lot of times when people are making financial decisions, they don't do it with the end in mind. They're doing it with what feels good right now. And reality is sometimes delayed gratification is a good thing. Actually, many times it is. But you have to have a good reason to connect with the why. And so I do take a reverse approach, I would say, to financial planning, where we don't talk about any products, any of the geeky stuff of finance, until I feel like I've got a great clarity on somebody's vision for the future. Because if I have got great clarity on what they actually want to accomplish, picking out the specific tools, tactics, and strategies is very easy to do.
I love that. I think that one of the questions that you asked me very early on and when we started working together was, what do you plan to do in 3 years and in 5 years? And what kinds of things are important to you? Do you like to travel? Do you like to, what are your hobbies? And it was so cool because it was almost like I was looking into my future of, yeah, this is what I want my life to look like. And I probably think about that more than the average person does that you work with, I would say. But
I would say for sure.
Yeah. I was like, okay, here's my vision and here's my vision board. But you never once said anything to me along the lines of like, well, like, that's not what I would do, or I would think about this, or you just totally affirmed everything that I would ever want out of my life and was like, okay, like, let's figure out how to get that. And I thought that was so beautiful. So just kudos to you.
Thanks.
It was really cool. It definitely made me more motivated to hit my money goals because, you'll remind me of that, or yeah, well, you mentioned this, or I know for in a year from now, you're going to want this. And so we should do this over here, you know, X, Y, Z to make that happen. So I felt super individualized. And I even kind of like challenged you a little bit right when we met. I'm like, don't be the guy that just tells me to do this, because that's how everybody is.
Yes.
You were probably like, oh boy.
That was great.
Yeah. And okay. So, and when we were in your office, there was like a camera in there and I asked you about that. So, I mean, tell the listeners about your journey into becoming a financial advisor.
Sure. Thank you for asking that question. And I think that your comments, are very accurate. Don't be that guy. Yeah. definitely not that guy. So one thing, and just maybe take a step back before I explain, how I got into this profession, is the fact that, you know, when it comes to talking about money, a lot of times people have pain that correlates with that. Like, maybe it's pain because of the fact that, like, we've got some shame as far as it relates to where we're at financially. And that shame might come from being like, well, my mom and dad said I should do X, Y, or Z, or I see everybody else being so successful and I don't feel very successful. And one thing that's interesting in the Midwest is we're so private about money that there's not necessarily a platform that many people feel comfortable talking about money. And so, you know, in our practice, what I find is that most people come in, they're a little like, oh, what is this all about? And as time goes on, it's probably one of the one places they feel super comfortable actually talking about money, which for me is fun, because then when people feel comfortable talking about something, they can take action on it, get good advice for it, and then move the ball forward. And so, you know, if anybody who's listening to this is like, you know, I wonder if I should talk to a financial advisor or not, I would just say the conversation is nothing bad that could come from the conversation. Probably the only thing that could come out of it is good. Granted, you know, not all financial advisors are created equally. But I do think that one of the things I appreciate about you, Gretchen, is the fact that you're actually talking about this sort of stuff, because it is somewhat of a taboo subject that should not be taboo. So I'll get off my soapbox as far as that's related. But my background before actually getting into financial planning, and I've been doing this for about 7 years, got a bunch of designations behind my name, so some boards think I know what I'm talking about. But I was actually a teacher and I was a professional photographer. Mm-hmm. And so you kind of talk about, like, you know, your vision for the future can dramatically change based on just choosing to do something different. My wife and I have been married for 10 years. We've got two beautiful girls, and we were really just evaluating our life about 7 years ago, looking at this photography business that I had started and ended up doing really well doing that. And then I was teaching and really just had a good conversation with my twin brother. So I have an identical twin brother who is also a financial advisor, who asked me a similar question as to what Gretchen, what I asked Gretchen and I ask all my clients is, you know, what do you want your future to look like? In essence, and basically said, you look miserable. Like, you're making good money, but you're working a ton and you don't seem very happy. And so he helped me outline what I wanted my future to look like. In large part, it came down to three core values. One was I wanted to do well for my family. So I want to provide well for my family. That's one of my values. The second thing is I wanted to do good, you know, and the third thing is just having impact on individuals. And so there's not very many careers where you can do well by helping other people do well. Hmm. And relationships are very important to me. And so my brother's like, well, what do you think I do? And I'm like, I don't know, you invest money and stuff like that. And he's like, no, I spend most of my time talking to individuals around what they want to accomplish and then helping them have a plan to get there. And so I had no finance background, like none. And Carl's like, you know what? You know people well. And, you know, I know you, you work harder than anybody else. You can learn all the factual data. And so I took his advice, resigned from my teaching job, sold my photography company, and 3 months later started as a financial advisor. And, you know, it's been probably one of the, I would say the most, maybe one of the riskiest things I've ever done. But when you actually look back at it, it's not risky to jump and change careers if you're a hard worker. And, you know, I would say I'm a decent person. I would say I'm a good person. So, you know, I look back at it and think, thank God that we are where we are today, because if that opportunity had not presented itself and I hadn't jumped, who knows what my life will look like, but I can guarantee I wouldn't have the impact that I currently have on my clients. And I also wouldn't have the life that I have with my family.
That's so good. And the thing, so it's funny how you manifest people into your life that are like you or meant to be in your life. Because earlier this year, I had a bracelet engraved with my three words for the year. And one of my words was impact. And so it's fun that we have that like same word of wanting to like make an impact. And then we like found each other through a network, you know, through a mutual friend. And so it was great. It's been great working with you. And you're kind of like my husband, where you're a little bit like, you're humble, right? That's like my point, is that if you go into Dave's office, it's like cluttered with like things that he has like done, but he won't like talk about that. He's not going to go brag about that. So I think it's really cool that you didn't have a degree in finance, but you were like, I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to be the best at it that I can. Your bookshelf in your office is full of personal development books. It's amazing. Yep. I was like, oh, we have the same books. So it's really cool. It's just a testament to that. If you do want to change your life, like, it just takes that willingness to change and the willingness to put hard work into it. It has nothing to do with, you know, if you have the right degree, you know, I mean, that's so, it just, I have a degree in microbiology and I can't even do my 16-year-old's chemistry homework. So that certainly hasn't helped.
So
me.
True.
So let's touch on what that was like for you really briefly when you first were a financial advisor and you were like brand new into this. Like, what did life look like for you back then? And how did you drive yourself forward?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. This could probably go across industries. So this could be like similar to your work that you're doing, or anybody who's doing a new profession is in part, you know, like very little. But the first thing that I always say is people are like, how did you become a financial advisor? I'm like, well, you go through some training, you get licensed, but the first skill you have to develop is understanding where to find the answers. And so I remember when I was early on, I had surrounded myself, maybe I'd been surrounded by great mentors and a great culture, people who were very generous and were willing to give up their time. And so those people were great resources for me. But reality is that, you know, in large part, just like in school, I view the main purpose of being in school is learning how to learn. So you know, I'm never going to stop learning, but you have to understand where to find the answers. I can say that sometimes the internet is a wonderful place to do that. And sometimes the internet is an awful place to do that too, because there's a bajillion answers. I think the last time I Googled how to save money, there was like 1.3 billion different hits on that on Google. And it's like, okay, so maybe some of those philosophies are the same, but 1.3 billion is a lot to sift through.
That's so true. I know when we started our nutrition business, I felt the same way. I was like, I don't know how to do this, but I will figure it out. And, you know, 2.5 years later, I was able to leave my job as a nurse. And that skill that you just said about learning how to find the answer is like the number one skill of being a nurse, because the most dangerous nurse you ever want is the one who is going to pretend like she knows what she's doing when she doesn't, you know?
Yep.
So, definitely. Like knowing how to find the answer and knowing how to figure it out, I feel like is what all college is teaching us. Like that's like what you need to just take away out of college, you know?
Yeah. So, for sure. Yeah.
That's awesome. So, interestingly enough, working with you, and I will share this because it's my story to share. So, this isn't any kind of breach or anything. So, you were like just working with you and you being so thorough into my finances, like, you literally found like an old job that I had, like $50,000 sitting in like a pension plan of an old job that I had. I was like, Dave, look at that. You like,
I know. It's like winning. We won today, you know?
And the awesome thing that I was telling you, and I'll tell the listeners, is I had on my vision board this year that I was going to increase my net worth by 50 grand. And I wasn't sure how I was going to do that because, you know, I left my job as a nurse. We have this business, the business is growing, but it's definitely not, when you knock out one income, you know, there is going to be a period where there's like some adjustment. So I was like, I don't know how I'm going to increase it by 50 grand, but I'm going to do it. I mean, technically I didn't increase it because it was there the whole time, but like I found it and I didn't know I had it.
You became aware of that. Yes, it's there.
So you basically, you're given free advice, you know, but I found such a value in hiring somebody independently because then I felt like I got a more thorough look on everything, you know, like all of the different jobs I've ever had and all the different things that I wanted to do out of life. Like it was a very comprehensive approach. And I mean, to be really honest, like Mike and I didn't go to a financial planner for a while because of that exact reason you talked about earlier of like feeling embarrassed about our finances. Yeah. And in the first episode of this show, I talk about like when we were in a really bad spot. And so being almost 40 years old and having like nothing to show for it is embarrassing. You know, it's like, I don't want someone looking into this. It's like going to the doctor when you're not healthy and you're like, oh, I know I've been taking like terrible care of myself, you know? So, but I never felt that way with you. And, you know, I think there's just something to be said about just really stripping away all that pride and being like, okay, well, it is what it is. And we can either keep ignoring it or we can start today to do something about it.
I agree. Yeah, it's, you can, like, people can do financial planning on their own, but they're probably going to do a pretty crappy job of it, in my opinion. Now, of course, I'm a financial advisor, so I'm going to say that, but the reality is outside perspective is so valuable. And so, like, something I like about your business model, Gretchen, is the fact that you work in teams. You've got people who you mentor, you're mentored by people, and, you know, there's a saying that there's no growth in the comfort zone and there's no comfort in the growth zone. Everybody wants to grow, but not everybody's willing to go through the work to get there. And so if you're content just being okay, then just be okay. But most of the conversations I have with people are saying, no, we want to progress forward. We want to grow. And maybe that's through changing careers or maybe that's adding a side business. You know, whatever that might be, I find that, you know, if you're actually going to progress, A, it's not going to be easy. That's okay, because the outcome I've often found is well worth it. And so so one piece about hiring a financial advisor, actually having somebody sitting down and spending time with you to discuss your plan is that essentially you're giving them time to do that. And you know, time is one thing that we can't create more of. And we also, you know, once a minute has passed, it's gone. And so time's a very precious commodity. And, you know, just like, you know, if I'm sick, I'm not going to go read a bunch of things on the internet to try and figure out what exactly is wrong with me. I'm going to go see a doctor. You know, if I want to get in better physical shape, yeah, I might will myself to go to the gym and work out, which might be great. But I know myself, right? I do CrossFit. And the reason why I do that is because if I don't show up to the CrossFit class, people are going to be like, where were you? You didn't show up to class. The coach will be like, hey, you know, why weren't you at class today? And so reality is I've aligned my environment to get the desired result that I want to have. And I find that one of the main reasons, like you just said, I said earlier, that people don't get good financial advice is because they're ashamed to talk about it. But if you just allow yourself a window of opportunity to talk with somebody, how freeing is that? It's kind of like, I know if you remember in middle school, you know, if you had a crush on a guy, right? Let's say I had a crush on a girl. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so nervous to tell them. But I remember with my wife, Rachel, like I really liked Rachel and I wasn't sure if she liked me. And I remember just like having this heavy weight on me. And when I told her, hey, you know, I like you, I would like to date you. It was as if this weight had been lifted off my shoulders, even though I didn't know what her response was yet. It was like this weight was lifted. And good news was she said that she liked me too after like a 30-second pause, which made my heart beat through my chest. But but essentially, you know, what I found is that, you know, when stuff is known, it's liberating. And so if people just keep a lot of this stuff in, they're going to have a hard time just feeling free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so true. And that weight lifting off, I mean, I felt freer once I had stopped ignoring our financial situation. I mean, Mike and I had money in accounts that probably shouldn't have been sitting there for years, you know, and it was just more of a like, okay, well, once we get to this, then we'll deal with it. I mean, there was literally years where we would every 6 months be like, okay, in 6 months, we're going to deal with this. Okay. In January, we're going to deal with this. And literally like I came to you in January, which is like, you know, you know, it was like, okay, it's time to stop pretending. And I mean, a lot of our personal journey is shared in this show. And a lot of it had to do with Mike and I fighting about money. You know, I mean, it was like a tense topic in our marriage for so long. And, you know, I described in previous episodes about that, but do you find that couples don't get along when it comes to money? Is that common?
That is like the common. One of my favorite questions to ask is essentially, you know, if I was a fly on the wall in your kitchen watching you two talk about money, what would I observe? And it is amazing the variety of answers that I get. Because usually it starts out as a slow roll, like, well, we talk about money. And it's like, and then usually like with one spouse, it's like, oh man, we fight about money. I mean, we can't even talk about it. And that's okay. Like, we're human beings. What I've found is that through some strategic ideas that we have around how cash flows through households, it takes the emotion out of money, which is important, which then allows you to work together as a team to progress towards your goals. Instead of one person versus the other person, you're actually able to be unified and saying, hey, we're working on this with each other. And if you have a question or a disagreement, guess who you get to talk to about that? Dave Detman, right? Yeah. So it's like that third party that's like, here's some outside perspective here on that. But yeah, it's a lot of fun having that conversation, but then giving people a framework to actually have a functional conversation on finance, which is great. And one thing, you know, that I think is important to note is that, you know, everybody wants to avoid financial regret, right? And we've kind of alluded to this a couple times throughout our conversation today. But what I have found is that everybody wants it. Very few people are willing to go through the work on their own, but eventually they get there because they have to. And there's three main causes. The first cause of financial regret is procrastination. So like you had mentioned, Gretchen, you know, it was January, you know, when you first contacted me. And so, you know, you set a date and you actually followed through on it. So that's great. But most people procrastinate on this sort of stuff, not because they don't want to, but I find it's typically they don't know where to go, or maybe they have some amount of shame that's keeping them from addressing it. The second thing that causes financial regret is just lack of vision for the future. So if you have a vision for the future, which we were talking about earlier, it's why I have the conversation around that. It's a lot easier to then pick out what you're going to do financially if you have a vision for the future. But the third thing that causes financial regret is just lack of a plan. You know, most people don't wake up in the morning and say, hey, you know, here's my debt reduction strategy. You know, this is what we're going to work on. You know, here's how I'm going to pay off my student loans or accelerated debt payments on a mortgage. Here's my retirement plan. Here's how I'm going to educate my kids. You know, that's, I would say, one of the biggest concerns that I find on people's hearts that have kids is how am I going to help them with their financial life? Mm-hmm. And so those three things are the three primary things that we focus on, is that if somebody says something's important to them, we'll help them not to procrastinate. We'll have it based on their vision, and we'll also put a plan around it. So that way it's not just feelings and emotions, but there's some math behind it too.
I love your approach with that and helping people with that. And I feel like there's always, at least in my friend circle and with us, there's like one person who really wants to talk about the money and then the other person who really doesn't want to talk about the money.
Yep.
Do you think, is that common or is that just something I'm noticing with my friends and me?
Well, no, I would say it's definitely common. One person is more interested in the technical details. The other person typically just wants to know that everything's going to be okay. And like, we are attracted to opposites. So no wonder, you know, there's conflict in marriage. You know, if you married like your best friend, like the person who's just like you, like that's probably pretty boring. And so when it relates to finance, just like many other things in life, like typically people are on two opposite ends of the spectrum. And that's okay. That's okay because that's actually what brings us together. It's just most people, again, because finance tends to be something that's so covered in our society that it's not openly talked about. How do you guys actually talk about money? And I would say this, this is not true for all couples, but typically it's the guy who's like, I've got this, I got all the details and stuff like that, you know, sweetie, trust me, it's going to be fine. And then it's the female that says, hey, like I want to know about this. The reality is I want to know that we're going to be okay. Mm. And so, and that's okay to have people that are on two opposite ends of the spectrum like that. But if you don't have a framework to actually discuss money, I find that typically one person is in the know, and the other person is not in the know, and they don't feel okay about that. And that's what causes a lot of friction too. It's just, you know, sweetie, it's going to be okay. And sweetie says, no, you know, I don't know if it's going to be okay. So yeah.
That's so true. I definitely see that. So if a person is listening to this and they're like, oh my gosh, this is totally opening some emotion flood right now of, yeah, I need to have some tough conversations with my spouse, or I need to like get real about my situation. What is your advice for them for like first steps? Like, what is the first thing that you do to kind of fix your situation or address it or deal with it?
Like my wife and I have done marriage counseling in the past, and reaching out for help, like as humbling as that is, just being like, all right, we've got our issues, we've got to deal with it. Like, some of the best money I've ever spent has been hiring somebody else to provide an outside perspective, like counseling, life coach, consultants, stuff like that. And so I would say that the first step is just agreeing that you're okay to have somebody else help you. Because when you do actually say, okay, let's do that, and then you can progress forward and say, well, let's find somebody. And then when you find somebody, they can help guide you in a conversation that, you know, I mean, I've been married to Rachel for 10 years. When we were going through our marriage classes and stuff like that, nobody taught us like how to talk about money, you know? And so it's not like you can like go to a class and all of a sudden you got the magical wand waved over you and everything is okay. And so reality is like, I have a financial advisor, and the reason being, and guess what? He looks exactly like me. He's my twin brother. And it's because, you know, like Rachel and I, when we're discussing money, we are, I would like to say we're like super functional about it. The reality is we have disagreements, and sometimes that outside perspective is needed almost all the time. And so the good news is that we get that outside perspective from my brother, Carl. But we both mutually agreed that we wanted that. Mm-hmm. And it's humbling. At the same time, ever since we decided to do that, we have made so much progress in our financial lives where it's just worlds different.
I love that. It's nice to hear that you have an expert looking into your life. Oh, yeah. It's reassuring, you know, because it's like, okay, everyone. And if you look at all of the really famous coaches and life coaches and speakers and trainers, they all have their own mentors. Like, everyone needs a mentor. I firmly believe that. And also, if you are an expert, you should be offering your services to mentor people. I mean, it's like this, you know, it's what we have to do. We have to give back if we have an expertise. So that is very cool. So, well, this has been amazing. I am so appreciative of you coming on here. I'm going to put how people can reach you in the show notes. And we have some fun things planned in the future as far as providing some tools and resources for people. So I'm excited to roll those out. And I'm so grateful for your time today.
Yeah, I appreciate your time. And I appreciate what you're doing for the people who are a part of your life, Gretchen. It's pretty amazing. So I will continue to observe and watch it and cheer you on.
Awesome. Thanks, Dave.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
Okay. Bye. Thank you so much for tuning in today. It would mean the world to me if you would go in, leave a 5-star rating and a review about what you have seen this show do for your life and what you would love to see it do even more for your life. My mission is to help people know their worth and know that their income can grow when they grow into their worth. And their net worth will change because you are worth it. So help me to help reach more people in spreading this message by leaving a review and leaving a rating. Thanks so much, you guys. I'll see you next time.